I'm going to deal with a lot of scripture tonight. And I'm hopefully this doesn't get too confusing, because there's a lot of scriptures, and sometimes in my mind, I kind of know where all this fits. But if you're kind of a novice for the scripture and for the end times, and especially talking about the Antichrist and what's coming, is the Antichrist alive right now? Is he around right now? Could be. Possibly. Likely. We don't know. But when we look at what's going on in the world, the signs of the times, you're thinking, you know, we are so close to the Lord coming back. I would just imagine that the Antichrist would be around. Now, I don't know. That's just a speculation, because one of the things, as a born-again Christian, you're not going to see him when he comes on the scene. And he's going to be on the scene for at least 7 years making a covenant with Israel. He's going to be like a peacemaker, coming in on a white horse and a bow, like he's going to solve all the problems, and people are going to think he is. But then in the middle of that 7 year period, about 3.5 years in, he's going to show his true colors and put his image in the Holy of Holies there in the rebuilt temple and demand to be worshiped as God. And so that is really the Antichrist. And I want to look at that, because you think, well, we've always thought about the Antichrist, and he's got an image. He's got an image he's going to put in there. And then that image is going to be animated. I mean, it's going to be able to, be kind of like a real, a real entity. How is that? Because we know that he's going to be wounded, and it's like a false resurrection. And so there are a lot of things that are going on with that. But I want to talk about that, and I want to look at what we find in the world today. The Bible does talk about knowledge increasing. It's unbelievable in the knowledge that's taking place today. We can't keep up with it. It's impossible to keep up with it. But one of the things that I want to look at and talk about is artificial intelligence. Because I know in the past, when I've looked at this passage and I've heard people speak, I know that they will talk about this image being animated and coming to life, and they'll talk about a hologram, or they'll talk about, at Disneyland they have, what do they have those, what do they call them when they, starts with an A, yeah. Animatronic, there you go. There's a smart girl. You're close, but she was right on, yeah. No, I knew it was something like that. And then they would talk about that being like that. But let me bring up this whole idea of artificial intelligence. Unbelievably dangerous for our day and age. One of the things that is really we need to look at, and it's very possible that that's what we're going to see. But let's dive into a couple of the passages that deal with the end times and realize that we are very close. We're in the end times. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For people will be lovers of self rather than, and lovers of money, and boastful and arrogant, and slanderers, and disobedient to parents, and ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they deny its power. Avoid such people as these, for among them are those who slip into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses." So it's just talking about hooking up, in that day. It's kind of like sex is just that's the whole thing going on in that time. Or this is a prophecy. It's like sport that is in this prophecy in the last days, always learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I'm just amazed that we've had K-Lite Radio on for 24/7, the Word of God going out there. People hear it. They hear it, but they don't come to the knowledge of the truth. To me, what we're seeing here 2,000 years ago, Paul, he predicted this. Paul wrote basically a biography of what our culture is today. That's what we see today. You know, when I first came over here to surf, I just got out of high school. And so we went out to the North Shore with a bunch of guys and lived in one of the houses out there. And we'd always wait for the surf to come up. That was quite a long time ago. That was in the 60s. that's when I was working for Greg Knoll. And we would come over, and because there was nothing going on the North Shore, so what we would do is go down to Sunset Market, and right there they had a little thing where you could get the scandal sheet. It was a scandal sheet, and it just had, it wasn't sexual type stuff. It was just weird things that, you know, that you would read. I mean, just things that are just kind of, you know, kind of strange. But now, our whole news media is a scandal sheet. It's all what we're reading here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's really indicative of the last days. Actually, Luke, he writes in chapter 21 about the last days. Verse 25, he says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and upon earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory." So these are the things that are going to happen right before Christ comes back. But I see some of these things, distress, perplexity. In other words, the world will be in a place of distress and perplexity. Perplexity, that Greek word means no way out. We're trying to find solutions to all the things that are going on, and we can't find it. We just make it worse. Government makes it worse. Doesn't make it any better. And so that perplexity. And really with that distress, the signs of depression, unbelievable. Just read an article, "America, We Have a Problem," was the headline. "This affliction does not discriminate, impacting 1 in 20 adults globally." Wait a minute, 1 in 20 adults globally? That means 500 million people are depressed, something like that. "In the United States, nearly 20% of young adults live under the dark cloud. Unlike a physical ailment with clear symptoms, mental anguish manifests uniquely in each person. Some may cry, while others feel numb, making depression hard to recognize and emphasize with, and empathize with. Yet, one unifying trait remains at its core. It simply feels bad. A recent paper examined 7 popular diagnostic questionnaires identifying 52 different symptoms of depression. These run the gamut from feeling sad to insomnia, lack of insight, laden paralysis," and it goes on. That's what he's saying here. Perplexity, distress. But also it says hearts failing for fear. That's happening now, heart attacks, because of fear. Recently published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Medical Virology shows that heart attack deaths rates took sharp turn and increased for all age groups during the pandemic. A spike in heart attacks because of that fear that has come upon the earth. You see, all signs of the coming of the Lord. But also with the coming of the Lord is the coming of the Antichrist. He's called the beast. It's the devil incarnate. Now, I know going out of 2023 and going into 2024, talking about the devil, probably rather talk about Jesus. Well, we will toward the end. But really, this is a sign of the times. It's always been to Jesus, and the apostles have warned us in the last days, this is going to happen. There are going to be more and more antichrists, or those who are opposed to Christ, Jesus Christ. And then there's going to be the person of the antichrist who's called the beast. He's called a number of things. The false prophet is also with him. But he's called the worthless shepherd as well. Number of things in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, for false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. If therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go. In other words, oh, Messiah is there. Oh, God is coming. He's there. Don't go. Behold, he is in the inner room. Do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherefore, where the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered. Ooh, what does that mean? I think the body, when Jesus Christ comes back with his saints, then the eagles, referred to the saints, we will go with him. I think it's talking about the rapture right there. But you see, accompanied by all this are deceptive spirits, a deceiving spirit, deluding, enticing, to pay allegiance to these false Christs, the Antichrist. That's why Jesus warns. That's why the apostles warn us. You see, John, in John's gospel, John chapter 8, verse 44, talks about the devil, how he's a liar, how he's a murderer. I think today you see a lot of murders. You see a lot of lies going on. Again, it's a sign of the times. He says, he's talking to these religious people. Just because a person's religious doesn't mean they're born again or they know God. They know Jesus Christ. So Jesus is talking to them and he says, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks from his own character, his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's what we have to watch out for today. When they censor what is true and they push what is false, that's the day we're living in. You've got to be careful. You've got to watch. You've got to study. You've got to look and really look at what is true and what is false and not just follow along with the crowd and with the media. You've got to do your own homework. 1 John 4:1 says, behold, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. I love it when you check me out to find out if I'm telling the truth. Oh, I love it when somebody comes, hey, Bill, you said this and that and the other. Oh, good, I love it. Let me show you why I said that. And you point to the scriptures, or you point to the fact of that. But you see, we're warned not to believe these false prophets, these false spirits that are coming along. 2 Corinthians 11:3, for I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from the sincerity and purity, pure devotion to Christ. He's talking to Christians. Even Christians can fall into that trap of deception. They can be deluded. They can be enticed as we're talking here. But notice what we find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is one of the things that I think I want to really kind of emphasize here as we look at Revelation, where the beast is coming really on the scene. Where 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 9 to verse 12 says, the coming of the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, the beast, is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, they wouldn't believe the word of God. They wouldn't believe Christ, but they were just kind of nominal. So they fell for that which is false and which is of really the lawless one, Satan. I think it is important to talk about this, because deception isn't going to go away. And I think we've gone down a path in our country. It's really a path to destruction, a path to losing this country, losing our Constitution. Because it really used to be one nation under God, and you had a Constitution that supported the rights of the people and the freedom that we had, not like any other nation in that way. But I think at this point, whether it's just the deception of the enemy deceiving so many people they're going that way, or it's a judgment of God, judgment of God upon this nation. Whatever it is, we're going to do what we're going to do as a church. We're going to preach the gospel and try to bring people out of darkness into the light. Because you can't for, 50 some years? Is it 60 years that you can't slaughter 63 million little babies in the womb? And now they're talking about even after birth, you know, you can let them die. Just put them in a room and don't feed them and let them die. God doesn't wink at that. God doesn't say, okay, America, I'm going to let you go on as you have been. It's not going to happen. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know. I pray for a revival. And I pray that we would be so firm in the Word of God and so firm in the deluding influence that's happening in the world and in our nation and in Hawaii, that we would speak up and speak out. Because this is what's happening. And God is sending that deluding influence on those who are believing what is false because they've rejected the truth. How much more can we do? 24/7, the Word of God is preached here in Hawaii. I think we're going to feel good standing before the Lord and saying, Lord, we've tried to do our part, tried to get Hawaii to wake up to these things, and we've been faithful in your word. So I feel good about that in our church and in our leadership, but still we need to preach the gospel and just pray that revival would come here to the islands and people would be saved. But here, notice in Revelation chapter 13, beginning in verse 14, what we see the Antichrist. Well, we see the false prophet, because there's two. It's kind of the unholy trinity, the false prophet, the beast, and Satan, the incarnation of Antichrist, Satan in the beast. And so we find in Revelation 13, and he deceived those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given to him to perform. That's the false prophet had deceived, in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. So either this is a false resurrection or something is taking place. They're now animating dead bodies with AI. And with all these gadgets and all these things that they're doing, putting in people, you know, it is really scary what's happening. And there was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the beast, the image of the beast, to be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their forehead. I think we're looking at very possibly could be artificial intelligence here, because it's an image. It's a built image, or it's one who supposedly died and now, ooh, brought him back to life. Wait a minute. Only God resurrects. And I would doubt if God would resurrect the Antichrist. It doesn't seem like that would, the beast. It doesn't seem like that would be logical. Or whatever is going on, a false resurrection, this image that is made, now it is made, it gives breath, Zoe in the Old Testament word, breath or life. Is it life? Is it animated life? Is it real life? Or is it artificial? Artificial life that they're now able. They're now able to do. And animate almost looks like the person. Amazing what they do. And here's where it gets pretty scary, and I'm going to get into this. Because I think one of the guys that is at the forefront of this and speaking out against this is Elon Musk. I like the man. I mean, I don't think he's a Christian, but I just like the fact that, you know, he's on his, now he calls it X, but it's used to be Twitter. He's now letting those that can speak out that were formerly censored from Twitter and from, you know, other sites, he's letting them on to share certain things that are true, that conservatives would actually believe. But he's a billionaire. He, you know, has created Tesla, the electric car, very successful. SpaceX, then Twitter, which is now X. But he argues about artificial intelligence. Here's some of the things that he says. And again, I think he's a very brilliant man, really a smart fellow. He says systems might replace humans. Artificial intelligence might replace humans, making our species irrelevant or even extinct. Musk has, on multiple occasions, warned of the threat that AI poses to humanity, having once said it could be more dangerous than nuclear weapons. Elon Musk has warned that artificial intelligence is one of the biggest threats to humanity. This is because humans face the threat of being outsmarted by machines for the first time. Elon Musk said he was concerned OpenAI, that's his organization, discovered a dangerous element of artificial intelligence. Now, I don't know what that dangerous element is, but he does. But you see, one of the things that we see in the scripture is it's going to be difficult days. It's going to be a time where there's going to be a tribulation that's going to take place, primarily in Israel, because Daniel speaks of that. Daniel in chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now, at that time, Michael, the great prince, Michael the archangel, who stands guard over the sons of your people," actually, Michael was the guardian of Israel. That's what he's saying there, guardian over your people, "will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, those to everlasting life and others to disgrace and everlasting contempt." Verse 3 goes on and says, "And those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end time. Many will go back and forth or to and fro, and knowledge will be increased." The point I want to make is he's talking about the tribulation period, the Antichrist coming on the scene, and I think hidden in here is the rapture. Those who sleep in the dust shall rise, the rapture. We'll look at that. But what I want to look at here, because we're talking about artificial intelligence, AI, notice he says that many will go to and fro, or back and forth, travel. Unbelievable, travel. Back in Daniel's day, I mean, you're either on a mule or on a cart or you're walking. No conception that you can get around the world. You can get from one continent to the other in hours. It's unbelievable. And they're actually making vehicles we know we had the SST, that supersonic jet? I mean, they disallowed those. One flew out of Hawaii years ago. I don't know if it was a European model or what. But I'll tell you, I was out in the water surfing, and I must have heard the engines of those things like 100 miles away. I mean, it was so loud. And one of the things, they banned them because of certain things. But now they're making something new that is going to be able to get people in a nick of, time, you know, one place to another. I mean, they already can. They're going to and fro. But what I see is knowledge will increase. Knowledge will increase. And with the whole discovery and the whole technology of AI, artificial intelligence, that's what AI is. Some of the stories, some of the things that I read here, listen up and hear what people are saying. AI technology becomes increasingly sophisticated. The security risk associated with their use and the potential for misuse also increase. Hackers and malicious actors can harness the power of AI to develop more advanced cyber attacks, bypass security measures, and exploit vulnerabilities in systems. The rise of AI-driven autonomous weaponry also raises concerns about the dangers of rogue states or non-state actors using this technology, especially when we consider the potential loss of human control in critical decisions processes. So you get the bad actors in those processes. And isn't that what we're going to see with this whole Antichrist system and what they're going to do? They're going to control. It'll be out of control, not in the hands of just a few. I mean, not in the hands of the many, but in the hands of a few. It goes on, concentration of power, the risk of AI development being dominated by a small number of large corporations and governments could exasperate inequality and limit diversity in AI applications. In other words, there are certain entities that will control it. Also, economics, the concentration of AI development and ownership within a small number of large corporations and governments can exasperate this inequality as they accumulate wealth and power while smaller businesses struggle to compete. What about the arms race? I mean, these can be used in weaponry. The risk of countries engaging in an AI arms race could lead to the rapid development of AI technologies with potentially harmful consequences. Recently, more than 1,000 technology researchers and leaders have urged intelligent labs that are, you know, working with AI to pause development of advanced AI systems. The letter states the AI tools represent profound risk to society and humanity. We've never lived in a time like this. Never. Not when I got saved. I thought the Lord was going to come back then. I mean, look at what we're dealing with now. What about the loss of human connection? I mean, people are going to be a number. People are going to be monitored, and they'll not really be connected. Increasing reliance on AI-driven communications and interactions could lead to diminished empathy, social skills, and human connections. The Antichrist and that government won't care about you, won't care about your concerns and your woes, if you're starving, if you're sick. They won't care about that. And that's what it's saying. What about manipulation and misinformation? AI generated content such as deep fakes. I had to look that up. A video of a person in which their face or body has been digitally altered so that they appear to be someone else, typically used maliciously or to spread false information. So such as deepfakes contributes to the spread of false information and manipulation of public opinion. That's already happened in elections. In one country, I can't quite remember, it doesn't come to me right now, but you see there, this misinformation, it's controlling. So you have to have something that'll control society. That's what the Antichrist does. He controls society. AI would be part of that. In a Stanford University study on the most pressing danger of AI, researchers said, and I quote, AI systems are being used in the service of disinformation on the internet, giving them the potential to become a threat to democracy and a tool of fascism. From deepfake videos to online bots manipulating public discourse by feigning consensus and spreading fake news, there is the danger of AI systems undermining social trust. The technology can be co-opted by criminals, rogue states, ideological extremists, or simply special interest groups to manipulate people for economic gain and political advantage. Isn't that what the Antichrist is going to do in the end times? He's going to manipulate and control the people. And they're going to think, oh, yeah, this is right. Why would they think that? Because a lying deception has come because they didn't believe the truth. So God is allowing this to judge them. To judge them. Some people think they're the captain of their own castle. They're in charge of their own life. No, you aren't. You're not your own God. You never will be. And so if you don't come and turn your life to the living God, you're going to go along with this flow. Because God will put a deception on you because you will be judged because you rejected the truth. That's a scary thing to think about. Now, what about unintended consequences of all this? AI systems, due to their complexity and lack of human oversight, might exhibit unexpected behaviors or make decisions with unforeseen consequences. This unpredictability can result in outcomes that negatively impact individuals, businesses, or society as a whole. In other words, they're thinking about putting this in control of armaments of nations. Can you imagine an AI saying, oh, let's attack. Let's shoot some nuclear missiles off. Well, that's what they're even talking about. And the existential risk, the development of artificial general intelligence, AGI, that surpasses human intelligence raises long-term concerns for humanity. The prospect of artificial general intelligence, AGI, could lead to unintended and potentially catastrophic consequences as these advanced AI systems may be aligned with human, may not be aligned with human values or priorities, values of like life. Oh, you want to diminish some of the population of the planet because what you want is only 500,000 people? Well, let's just destroy, because we have no conscience, let's just destroy, you know, the rest of them. I have, and you can look online, you can see this, but the 10 steps of artificial intelligence. And it lists the 10 steps, and it's pretty succinct. You could go online and check it out. But you know what the 10th artificial stage of intelligence is? Take a guess. God-like artificial intelligence. God-like. Well, that's what the Antichrist, that's what the beast is looking for. How many of you, now you have to go back a few years, but Stanley Kubrick's 2001, A Space Odyssey. Any of you ever see that? I did. It was kind of boring to me because it was so long and it went on and on. But it was made in 1968, and it was an epic science fiction film. HAL 9000, this supercomputer, he takes possession of the spaceship. And the fellow on board of the spaceship, I'll remember his name in a minute, but HAL wouldn't obey him any longer. He took control. That's amazing what that movie did and what we have potential today. And when you look at some of the reasons for that, HAL, what you see now, the synopsis of it, HAL, the evil AI, homicidal computer, where within our grasp, never again to be confined solely to the imagination of sci-fi writers. So now HAL 9000, he's alive and well today. To me, that was so amazing how, you know, they made that movie. And, it seemed like it'd be unbelievable that something supercomputer would do that, be able to now control. But that's what they're saying. And you see, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." Oh, okay, so now the Lord's going to come. We're going to be gathered together to him. But after that, we're going to find that the Antichrist will come on the scene and deceive many. It goes on, verse 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, "that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy or the falling away comes first." Some believe that's the catching away because it's the same term as rapture in the Latin Vulgate, the catching away. But it could be the apostasy, just the turning away from God, comes first. "And the man of lawlessness," or the man of sin, "is revealed, the son of deception, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God and object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God and displays himself as God." So here, the Antichrist, he's going to come on the scene. He's going to come on the scene. Now, Jesus is going to come back, but he's going to come on the scene. But Christians won't be here. You see, right now, we are that force. We are that power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's holding back the evil that could take place, the potential evil that could take place. With us being involved in our culture, in our society, preaching the Word of God. Oh, I know they're canceling us. I know they're censoring us. I know that we're not on YouTube because we're censored because we say things they don't like. Never imagined that that would be true, but it is true. But you see, ultimately, the Antichrist will come on the scene, but only after the church is gone, only after the born-again Christians are gone. You see, we won't be here. And we will not see the Antichrist. We can sense that maybe the Antichrist is alive and well. You know, maybe so, because we're so close. But here, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "Do you not remember," Paul is saying, "that while I was with you, I was telling you these things, and you know what restrains him now? So that in his time he may be revealed." So there's a restraining force. Here, the Antichrist, Satan incarnate in the Antichrist, in the beast, what could possibly restrain him on planet Earth? Nothing except the Holy Spirit in the church, in the believers. But that's what Paul's saying. You know what restrains him? "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains him will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming." That is, the one whose coming is in accordance with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. He's going to come on the scene, and there's a restraining force that is holding him back. That restraining force is you and me, the church. And we're not going to go through this tribulation period, because when he comes on the scene, it'll be a 7-year tribulation period, as Daniel says. You'll make a covenant for 7 years. Halfway into it, 3.5 years, you'll break it and set his image up in the end, in the Holy of Holies, as we mentioned. But God says to us, the Bible tells us, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So salvation is ours through Jesus Christ. And we're not going to go through this wrath. We're not going to go through this. I mean, we suffer enough by the world. I mean, Christians are being put to death today. Christian churches are being burned to the ground. We see that in Canada. We see it in other foreign countries. And hopefully it doesn't come to Hawaii, but it could. But you see, we're not going to suffer the wrath of God upon man. But you see, it's only going to be when the church is gone. Then the Antichrist will be revealed. We see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep or those who have died in Christ, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." Those who don't believe in Christ, one dies, they don't have a hope. They don't have a hope of eternal life. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up or forcibly snatched away, or in the Latin Vulgate, raptus, or raptured. That's where we get our word raptured. We will be taken up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. So these are words of comfort. When we're gone, then the Antichrist comes on the scene and the Antichrist is revealed. But you see, God has not destined us for wrath. When Luke talks about the signs of the times, the end times, in Luke chapter 21, he goes through all these signs, and we've talked about a number of them this evening. He says in that last part for the believers, he says, but keep on the alert. This is in Luke 21, 36. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape, literally escape out of, all these things that are about to take place. That's the tribulation, God's wrath poured out upon Christ's rejecting world. And where do we go? And to stand before the Son of Man. That's a rapture. He takes us up. We stand before him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then literally on earth, all hell breaks loose. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. You've got to get right with God, or you're going to get left behind when the rapture does come. There's no indication when it might come. It can happen at any time. When we least expect it, it can happen. We don't think about it happening right now. We think about our deck jam and stuff. But it's usually when we don't expect it that that's when it happens. Oh, Lord, come quickly. Take us. That'd be nice. But just encourage you, get right with the Lord. 2023, before you go into 2024. Let's stand for a bit. I know we're going to partake of communion, but why don't you stand for just a moment, and let me pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for warning us of the things to come. And you give us signs of the times, Lord, that we're not caught unawares. But Lord, you tell us to be diligent. You tell us to watch and wait. And so, Lord, I do pray and I thank you so much for those Christians, those believers who are watching and waiting. But I know there might be those here tonight that they've thought about Jesus, and maybe they've had an upbringing in the church, and yet they've never actually invited Jesus Christ into their heart. And you say, you tell us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's our heart's door. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into them and fellowship with them, and they with me. That's being born again. It's inviting Christ into our life to be our Lord and to be our Savior. If that's you tonight, to invite the Lord into your life, to have your sins forgiven, and to have a home in heaven, pray this prayer with me. You can say it silently, quietly, but just simply mean it. You don't want to be left behind, but you want to be right with God. And it comes by turning from just religion. Jesus had to deal with a lot of religious people that were not saved. Turning from religion and turning from you being the God of your life and turning to Jesus. Say, Lord, I want you to be God of my life. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want a home in heaven, so I turn from sin and I turn to you. If you want to do that, pray this prayer after me. Simply mean it. You can pray it out loud or pray it quietly. Say, Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and for the sins of the world. And Lord, I thank you for loving me. And I thank you for bringing me here tonight to hear this message. Lord, you've touched my life. You've touched my heart. And I want to come to you tonight. I want my sins forgiven. I want to have a home in heaven when you come back for me. And so, Lord, I give you my heart and my life. I repent of my sins. And I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to be my God, and to be my friend. And Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a love for you and for your word and for your people. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.